Good evening. Tonight we're going to be talking about a topic that many do not like to talk about. It's kind of like death. How many people do you see standing around talking about death? Not too many. I remember there was this old place near my high school called V-Mart. And sometimes you would see some old guys sitting around talking about the glory days. And then they would show up at football games and talk about how great their team was. And nobody likes to talk about death. And no one likes to talk about hell. Because hell's a place that some don't believe exists. Hell is a place that many don't like to talk about because it's a place of everlasting torment. And so we need to understand if there is a heaven, there is a hell. And we know that the ones who end up in hell, who will end up in hell, are those who are lost, who have disobeyed God. Now, of course, this is not the conversation you want to start with when you're trying to convert someone. Of course not. But it is a topic that must be spoken about. And so we're going to look here first at views concerning hell. The first view that some will have is called a simple denial, does not believe in an afterlife. This will come among groups like atheists and agnostics. They simply deny that there is a hell. The second one here is called the conditionalist. Immortality is only granted to the righteous. The rest cease to exist. And this kind of falls in line with the third one here, annihilationist. The righteous and wicked are raised, but the wicked are wiped from existence. So these are some views that many who are of the world take. And we can see, really, you can't find any of these views with Scripture supporting it. Of course not. But they all do have one thing in common. They all deny that there is everlasting conscious torment. We know that heaven and hell are eternal. They are both spiritual realms. And whether you have been righteous or wicked, you will end up in heaven or hell, depending how you lived this life. Now, of course, when we talk about heaven, everybody likes to talk about heaven. Everybody likes to speculate about heaven. And everybody, and not everybody, but many think, well, as long as I'm a good person, I'll make it to heaven. Well, that's not the case. If you're not obeying God's word, hell is going to be the destination. And so, we see everyone has objections about hell. And so, when we move on here, when we look at the first objection, is that a loving God would never do this. A loving God would never send someone to hell. Well, we see that this isn't biblical. We need to understand our world, of course, they don't understand this love that is shown. Now, yes, God is a loving God. But as we go through, and we'll get back into it each month, God's nature, we understand that, yes, God is loving, but he is other things as well. Holy, righteous, just. And we've been through some of those already. But as we look in Romans chapter 11, verse 22, therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. Once again, we see that God is a loving God, but he does not put up with disobedience. He does not put up with sin. you will be cut off. When we go back to Christ's teachings, this is what baffles me the most. When you look at Christ's teachings, there are multiple times. We go to the vine and the vine dresser. We go to that parable. And we see that the branches that do not produce the fruit, what happens? They're cut off. They're cast into the fire. We see through Christ's teachings, he doesn't shy away from what will happen with the second death. He tried to warn people. We even go to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. God is jealous. He's vengeful. And his wrath will be poured out on those who are unrighteous, on those who suppress the truth with their unrighteousness. Once again, people of the world get caught up with God is love. Yes, I agree. But you're missing other pieces to God. That's not his whole character. When we look at Nahum chapter 1, verse 2. God is jealous, and the Lord avenges. The Lord avenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. God's nature is right here, more than just love. Yes, absolutely, God loves you. God wants, he desires all men. As Paul tells Timothy, he desires all men to be saved. Revelation 19, verse 15. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Once again, how can a loving God send people to hell? Not all love, and he does not put up with sin. Now we know that, yes, God desires all men to come to him, to leave sin and to come to him, but he will honor your choice. Understand, God is just. He will do what's right. He will honor your decision. If you choose to live in sin, if you choose to remain lost, he will honor that. You know, I think about God and his character. And it does hurt him to know there are people, his people, that he had created that choose to reject him. I'm sure it does. We look at Christ at one point. He's weeping over Jerusalem because he knows what's coming. And he tries to warn them about the destruction of Jerusalem. And of course, he tells people, look, if you hear of rumors of wars, you hear about these things coming about, get out. But he understands there will be people who don't listen, who reject that his word. And they will die within that destruction. How many times did he warn Israel? Did God tell Israel, obey me, follow my commandments, and you'll have life, you'll be provided for? And they chose to reject. Another objection. It would not be fair. How's it not fair? Who are we that we can decide how bad sin is? There are, you know, and that's one thing we see. It's like people like to decide, okay, you know what, this sin is worse than this sin. You know what's amazing about that? Revelation 21:8, liars are named among some big sins, aren't they? We talk about idolaters, adulterers, sexually immoral. Liars are named among them. It drives me crazy when people will say, oh, he just told a little white lie. A lie is a lie. It's sin. And at that point, you have been separated from God. God is a just God and will honor our decision once again. The other objection, hell is eternal in its consequences, not duration. Once again, here's another objection that has no scripture to back it up. Hell is eternal in its consequences, not duration. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. And all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on His right hand, "Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Then He will say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison you did not visit me." Then they also will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then He will answer them, saying, "Surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. We see the word everlasting. We need to understand that hell is eternal. For eternity, just like heaven, for those who are righteous, when we hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," we will be with God for eternity. There is this minister that used a piece of rope to illustrate what eternity looks like. Now, of course, the rope can only go so long, but he taped off a piece that represented our life here on earth. And the piece is about this long. That's our life, but then the rest of it. And he just kept pulling rope. I don't know how long the rope was. But it put into perspective, eternity is forever. Our minds can't comprehend it. Of course not. Because our life here, we know the average life expectancy of us here now is, I think, 70 to 80 years old. And there are some people, I know of some who have lived to be 120 years. Great. I live to be 90, and hopefully I'm not in a wheelchair having to be pushed around and all of that. But we see it's on average. This life is temporary. It's not forever. It's not to last forever. Hell will last as long as heaven will last. Eternity. For an eternity. And so, now that we have seen the objections, now that we have seen what people say about everything, the views and objections, let's see what Scripture has to say about hell. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 29 through 31. "Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." You know, it's interesting. God is dangerous. He is. Because we are talking about the Almighty God, the Almighty Jehovah, who created all of this, created us. That is someone that I do not want to trample. That is someone I never want to be an enemy of. Yet many, as we speak, as Paul says in Philippians, are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. In Proverbs 20, chapter 20, verse 2, the wrath of a king is like the roaring of a lion. Whoever provokes him to anger sins against his own life. Simply put, hell is the wrath of God. That's his wrath. What could be far worse than hell? You know, you can look at scriptures all day long and see snips of what hell is like, and it doesn't sound like a great place to be, does it? Yet many joke about it. Many will say, well, you know, as long as we're good people, God won't send us to hell, and they're leading many astray because of that. But what is there to joke about hell? And another thing we need to understand too, and I know the world has this mindset, Satan's not the king of hell. He's not. Because we see in plenty of scriptures through Revelation that he's going to be tormented along with all those who bear his name. All those who have followed his ways will be in eternal punishment. We go back to verse 26 of Matthew 25. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Once again, putting in as a mindset, it is everlasting for eternity. I don't know about you, but I want to spend eternity with God in heaven. I don't want to be in hell for eternity. Everlasting torment, fire. In Revelation 20:15, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Why would you want that? You know, I remember as a little kid, we had a big bonfire out in the yard, and I didn't reach my hand into the fire, but there was a stick poking out. And I remember grabbing a hold of it, and it was bad. It burnt. It did not feel well. And just imagine for eternity feeling that pain, that torment. Revelation 14, verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image and who receives the mark of his name. It is eternal. It is a place of fire. It is a place of no relief. You know, that burn I received on my hand, put some medicine on it, I find relief. You take a Tylenol for some pain, you find relief. But this is a place you will never find relief. You think the aches and pains are bad now. At least you can numb it. In hell, there is no numbing. Once again, when we just see what we see about heaven and hell, obviously we know which one's better. But are we living like the place we want to be? Are we obedient? Have we been faithful and obedient to God? Because that's the only way. The only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. The only way to have your sins washed away is through the blood of Christ. Just being a good person won't get you to heaven. I hear that nonsense so many times from worldly people. Don't get me wrong. I know people who are not in Christ who are wonderful people. Absolutely. The nicest people that will give the shirts off their backs. And it pains me, it hurts me to know that they may never come to Christ and will be in eternal punishment. It's hard. But at the same time, all I can do is tell them the truth and hope they accept it and come to Christ. Why would anyone in their right mind choose hell over heaven? And the simple answer is desire. They desire this present life. They desire instant gratification. They want the best now. But here's the reality. This world is broken. There's nothing that is worth more than heaven, worth more than Christ. There's not. There are still good things in this world, absolutely. There are still good people. But at the end of the day, this world, no amount of money on this earth, no amount of cars, homes are worth my soul. So if you're here this evening, I pray that you decide to give your life to Christ. Because if you don't, hell will be the destination, your destination for eternity. And none of us here who are Christians want to see that. We want you to go to heaven. We love you. God loves you. He wants you to be saved. But the only way is to come through His Son, Jesus Christ. So if you're here this evening, this is the time now to give your life to Christ. And this is how you do it. You hear the word that has been preached to you, Romans 10:17. You believe that word, John 3:16-17. You repent of your sins, Acts 3:19. You change one's mind. And then you confess your faith in Christ, Romans 10:10. But that's not the stopping point. You must be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's the only way to make contact with the blood of Christ. Putting your old self to death, burying it. When you raise up out of that water, you are a new creation. But it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful. That means being faithful to God and obeying His commands. So many times Christ told His followers, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." That's the hard part, is putting aside this world and our sinful desires and desiring God over all, living for Him daily. But if you are a Christian and you have sin that has separated you from God, now's the time to take care of it, because there are going to be many Christians who think they're right, but sadly are not. And we'll hear the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." If you have sin in your life, take care of it tonight. Come forward. Allow us to assist you in any way we can. We love you. We want to encourage you. Give your life to Christ tonight. If you're here and you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.